Always great to have a Rocket Eater part of the team on the Breakfast Club. And he's back on a Tuesday after round five action. Rocket, good morning.
Morning, Daniel. Good to talk to you again, mate. And Whitey, how are you?
Good to have you back. It's good to
Very good to be back.
Absolutely.
We missed you last week, Rocket. We missed you.
Where were you? A sabbatical, were you?
Well, yeah, just a little bit of week off, just a time away. It's important sometimes to just see other people, Rocket.
Yeah, I understand that, mate. I understand.
Who knows, other people being my family at some stage.
And then you see those people too much, so you have to go back to work.
Well, you have to go on holiday by yourself.
If you can nail that, that's a great system. You can nail that sort of stuff, Rocket. Now, tell me, what have you made of, just because we didn't have the conversation with you last week, what have you made of footy in 2020 so far with the disjointed nature of it? How have you seen footy, Rocket?
Look, it's obviously different for the players, but it's certainly different for supporters, and media people are supporters. The non-crowds has been difficult to get to. I think probably got to cut the players a little bit of slack because of the lack of training. You see some teams and certainly some individuals have been affected by that with fumbling and the skills and still going on. Some teams are improved on the weekend, which was good to see. I thought the football at the weekend generally is a little bit better than it's been the previous couple of weeks. But it is getting used to. I know a lot of supporters are frustrated by it at the moment. I think it's more because it's so different to last or previous seasons with no crowds and now hubs and that's the main sort of talk, isn't it? But I think the AFL are doing a good job to keep it going at the moment. But I hope it still keeps going. That's going to be the issue going forward.
I think it's a good point that the footy was definitely better on the weekend. It was sort of 3 weeks into the restart, or 4 weeks into the restart. It did feel at times that there was better footy played. We've spoken a lot about Melbourne Rocket over the last couple of years with you on this program. I asked this of Jimmy yesterday, is the criticism over the top of Melbourne, or is it fair enough for them to be copying the heat again so early in the new season?
Oh, I think it's fair, to be honest. You can cope with losses. I know they're a game short at the moment, so they've got another game to play, but the way they're playing, they wouldn't win that. So, they don't seem to have a system, do they? It just seems to, the number of inside 50s, and they're the worst scoring team with a number as a percentage going inside. And the number of mistakes they're making, and mentioned before, you cut teams a little bit of a slack. I think their effort is nearly just about there, you'd say, or it's there. Now they're trying hard. They really tried hard on the weekend, but just their decision-making and skill errors were abysmal, to be honest. They need to be better than that. Now, they're second last in the competition at the moment, Adam, so they deserve some heat. You can be second, like Fremantle. I know that it's all to do with expectations, and I understand that Melbourne's expectations are higher than Fremantle, so you're always going to be disappointed. But Fremantle, and even without Fife at the weekend and missed a half a game against the Suns, which they may have been able to get up in, they've looked okay, Fremantle. Like, they've been close enough. So you'd be disappointed with losses, but you'd say, well, no, they're not far off. With Melbourne, their one game is a one-point win over Carlton, where probably Carlton kicked 4-7 in the last quarter, or 4-5 or whatever it was, and Carlton should have won that. So they'd be zero games. And there's no game really you can say, well, Melbourne have showed something that you can hang your hat on. And if I was a Melbourne supporter, I'd be really frustrated, probably simmering and percolating towards angry.
So they pushed Geelong. They very nearly beat Geelong, and it would have been a pinch if they got it, but they were competitive with a team that finished in the top four last year, and then at times challenged Richmond. So it's not like they've been horrific, but is it more about what you see from them time and time again frustrates you, that there doesn't seem to be a system or the forward line's not working? So that's where the criticism comes?
Yeah, and I think on the back of last season, which was a frustrating year for everybody, to be honest, after being in the preliminary final, that they've won 5 of the last 26. So it's not a great record. They've won less, well, it's equal to the Gold Coast or less than Gold Coast. So we're a team that's finished in the top four the previous year. Everyone talks about Adelaide, but it's a big fall.
Yeah, it's
quite
cool.
At the moment. And it's a big fall. And I'm only five games in, so you probably give them another 2 or 3 weeks. But it's you look for patterns and you look for signs, and the signs aren't good at the moment, are they? How they can dig themselves out of this hole. And they need to win the weekend. If they don't win at the weekend, I know you said it was Metricon, but it's in Sydney at Giant Stadium.
Yeah, Giant Stadium, yeah, you're right.
And so, which, I don't know if it's good or bad, but they need to win that. If they don't win that, it looks like a long season for them.
Yeah, they're back-to-back at Giant Stadium this week and next week with the Gold Coast Suns and the Hawks. So they've got some challenges on that. So the one of the conversations around them at the moment, Rocket, is that forward-half connection. How do you coach forward-half connection? Is that purely system-based, or is it repetition, rehearsal-based? How do you coach? How do you improve the situation that they find themselves in at the moment?
Yeah, a lot of coaches, we hear about system-based, don't we? We're a system-based team. We lose five players, but our system will carry us over. Well, we still need good talent. Richmond last year, early in the year when they were losing games, our system will carry forward, but they were without Martin, without Rewald, of course they weren't going to win. So have they got enough talent in the forward half is one thing. Is it the way the ball's coming in? So you'd have to look at it more deeply. I think it's a bit of a mixture of system and players about rehearsal, about connection. So in certain, actually coach scenarios, but I think you've got to train it, but at the same time let players be able to make the right decision, give them scenarios, or give them A, B, C and D, but within that you be able to pick the right option. I think if you make it too structured, you've got to kick the ball to this spot, you've got to kick the ball to this spot. It's a lot of information for players to process under the heat at the time. So I think they've got to work together. I think the forwards have got to work together, as in leading patterns. The delivery of the ball, this is our preferred option, is a guy on the lead. If we're going to kick it long, we prefer to keep it lower, if that's the right phrase, and to an advantage side. And if we're in a certain part of the ground, this is where we want to get it. We want to kick on the angle, a bit like Charlie Cameron on the weekend when he hit Hipwood. Dermot talked about the fat side, but it might be the angle kick. Let's take it offline a bit. So there's whichever way the coach or the team feels that they've got to play. But then within the structure, it's not going to be perfect. Because the stats show if you can get a score every 50% of the times you go inside 50, that you're doing okay. That's about the average. So 50% of the time you're not. So, but they're down to 20 or 30%, which is very low. So I think it's a combination of having a system. This is where we prefer to do, train it, but also have that scenarios, actions where players can pick the right option and they've got three or four different options. The players who can't make those decisions shouldn't be playing the midfield. They've got to either be a tagger or got to be in the back line or whatever the case may be.
So half as a midfielder as you were, such a dominant midfielder.
Powerful.
When you look up and see...
Very good decision maker.
Yeah, that's right. When you see those forwards inside 50 for Melbourne, is that one of the reasons why there's this lack of clarity in going forward because they don't have the confidence in the players that are down there? Or is it more a general game style issue that they've got? Why is it that they are playing the way they are?
I don't think it's a personnel situation where you have, because they're not seen as great forwards that you wouldn't kick it to them. You kick to the person who's in the best position. That's your job. It doesn't really matter who it is. You just kick it to them. Unless you've got Wayne Carey sitting down there and you find a way to kick it to him any day of the week. And they don't have that. So I think it's more a confidence. I think it's a lot of it's confidence at the moment, which is one of the biggest challenges in footy, to be able to make decisions in the heat, as Rocket talks about, when you're not feeling great about yourself and pulling the trigger and just executing your skills. And I think it's a real big mountain for them to climb at the moment. We'll talk to Maxie about it later on, but that's one of my questions for Rocket this morning was going to be, how do you coach this group at the moment, Rocket? 5 out of 26, as you say, they are... And they came in to the season with big expectations. They were talking about the aberration of last year. And now that 2020 was going to be their opportunity. It's been disjointed. They haven't had that continuity like anyone else, admittedly. But this was going to be their redemption year, Rocket, and it's not happening. So they would be feeling as flat as shark poop, really, you'd reckon.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt. And I think, back to Adam's question to you, that I mean, sometimes it might be the forwards don't have confidence in the midfielder, so they don't lead.
It's the other way.
So you've actually got stationary targets, and then it creates confusion with the midfielder. And it's a subconscious thing. So it's interesting that Melbourne in their good year were free-flowing and took the game on and played instinctive footy, if that's the right phrase. They seem to be disjointed and not playing with confidence. When you're in this situation like you are at the moment, and some players don't like it, especially some talented players, say, well, you can't coach effort, but they've got to get back just to basic. I know it's a pretty simple saying, but get back to basic. This is what we've got to do. We've got to get the ball in our forward half, keep practising it, but we're going to keep the ball in. We're going to keep the ball in. So we're going to get a look at it. So we're just going to tackle. We're going to get pressure. So we're staying in the contest consistently. Get some goals and then slowly but surely build on our connection. We are not going to go from 0 out of 10 that it is at the moment to an 8 out of 10 that's going to turn the... It doesn't happen, and it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
They can't flick a switch. It's not... There's very few players and minimal teams that can flick a switch. Your players you train, and they need to get back and do the hard work and do the connection. Like Clayton Oliver, who's a really good player. Anyone says he's not a great kick. He's a nice long kick, but he's short passing. Now, whether that's decision-making, which you wouldn't think because he uses the ball so well by hand, but he's two turnovers in the middle of the ground. That last one they got the goal from, Richmond, and the one that he hit Baker. Like, he's missed a target by 20 metres. Like, maybe in those situations you coach individuals and say, OK, we will get it in, but we'll kick it off angle. Instead of kicking in a straight line, we'll kick it on an angle. So our forwards have got to run to it, even if it's a 5 to 10 metre run.
Mm.
Rather than then let's play they overpossess. They're turning it over and they overpossess. Let's play territory a bit. Let's play based on effort, and then slowly but surely we'll get our confidence back in by that. And then as coaches, you reward that. So you build their confidence, say, well done, Daniel. You know, you've had 3 tackles this week. You've got the ball going forward. You've surged it forward. Richmond's game plan was no fuss in the years that they've won it. And it was just a really getting the ball forward. Didn't overpossess. Let's surge it, soccer it, get it going forward. And probably had a bit more talent in their forward line, a bit more talent in the midfielders. But by the same token, maybe they've just got to play basic footy and get it. And that's the way you build your confidence. It's just by consistency over and over and time again. And then eventually they can broaden their horizons.
Question off the SMS about Harley Benner, why he isn't playing, when we talk about why he was brought to the football club and the good decisions he makes and the skill level that he's got. Are they playing the long game with him? Why wouldn't they be playing him at the moment?
Yeah, because his game he played, and everyone sang his praises, which was, you know, he only played 50% game time and got away with that. That's good, but his ability to use a ball and his decision-making is elite. Now he's probably obviously down a bit on game time and playing football, but I can't believe that they would play him, manage his game time, which they did exceptionally well, and then not play him again. Whether it is he's sore in a calf and they don't want to put that public stress on him because of the problems he's had, but yeah, I find it an interesting one that they wouldn't play him and slowly build his game time. It must be something else that's gone on.
Well, he kicked 4 goals and had 25 touches, I think, in their scratch match across the weekend. So I'm tipping Rocket. I just read that today, funnily enough, that he might be in the mix for the Gold Coast game this week, because it's about ball use and decision making. That's the crux of footy, isn't it? Ball use and decision making. If you can do that, you have a chance to be okay.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone talks about contested ball and pressure, but if you can't use the ball properly at times, and you can't put it through the sticks, you're not going to be able to score. I know it's pretty simple, but the theme over the weekend, which I thought the football was a bit better, because the football was a bit better over the weekend, even if the skills were down, was you can tell the intent was there to move the ball more quickly. And that's the thing where we like, even though we might turn it over, or the teams turn it over, but we like the intent to try and get the ball inside 50, where the previous week, well, there was very little intent. So having that intent to... So if you've got the intent to score, you've got to be able to use it, because it's a turnover game. If you turn it back the other way, you're just going to get slaughtered. And so having Ben all there would certainly help them.
I was thinking about this last night. I don't know why. And I was watching one of the footy shows about the ball use and the decision-making rocket, just on that point. Mm. Have we as an industry and as clubs, have we almost coached skill out of the game a bit, the way that the game is played? Because it's now such a territory battle, and it's hack it forward and then press up. Hack it forward and then press up. That's sort of been the method of play for a lot of teams for a lot of years. You haven't needed to necessarily be a great skillful player like you would have come across through the 70s and 80s, and I did through the 90s and the early 2000s, where there were some great skilled players that under pressure could find a target 45 metres, left foot, eyes closed, around the body sort of stuff. They were brilliant. But we don't seemingly have that level of skill of the game that we once had as a craft. Did we coast it out a bit with the way we play?
Yeah, I think you may be right. The other thing is, to back your argument up, is a lot of times guys have got a mark or free kick, you know, 70 out, a bit of an angle towards the boundary, and we'll kick it towards, or even 40 out, 50 out, we'll kick it towards the point post and hope for a stoppage rather than kick it to the front of the square and try and score. So it shows the intent is keep the ball inside 50 rather than let's make it easier for our forwards to be able to score. Well, we'll go in and we'll play the boundary consistently because we're mindful of a turnover. So, yeah, we've... Not flair's not the right fruit, but creativity or expansive part of the game is slowly diminishing out of the game. So, and that's why the weekend, to me, was a bit refreshing. There seemed to be intent to try and score. And that's the whole thing. And obviously, Alistair said the previous week about the whole of the man, and it's not the coaches, but the coaches coach that. Coaches coach numbers around the ball, and they coach the way they move the ball. Now sometimes players go against that, but generally the chip mark is coach driven. And at the weekend there was a bit more intent, I thought, to get the ball inside 50.
22 past 7 on a Tuesday morning. Great to have Rocket E back with us on The Breakfast Club in 2020, going through the weekend's games and the issues from a coaching lens. None better qualified than Rocket to be a part of that conversation with us. And we think it's fantastic. There's heaps more to get through after the break. So stick around on The Breakfast Club on RSN 927.
Goodies, goody, goody, yum, yum.
Great tune, great TV show, 25 past 7 on a Tuesday morning, The Goodies. Did you watch The Goodies, Whitey?
Oh, bits and pieces.
Rocket, were you a Goodies man?
Monty Python man?
Monty Python? My dad was, or my grandfather was.
Oh, jeez. That's a very big slight, that one. So who did you listen to as a comedian? Pretty basic, I suppose.
Tell you who I reckon were two very funny people that don't get the credit they deserve. Hale and Pace.
Yeah, yes, they had some moments.
That's a moment, yeah.
Well, these days they wouldn't be overly well received, I wouldn't have thought.
Like most people.
Well, that's true too. Well, I'm playing this song anyway, because Bill Oddie, who is a part of the trio of the Goodies, is having a birthday today, Whitey. Tim Brooke Taylor and Graham Garden was the other one in the Goodies. Yeah. Great TV show
away,
after school.
Didn't he, about
yeah, he did.
One passed to Tim Brooke Taylor, I think
it was Tim Brooke Taylor.
Yep.
In fact, that was with
6 or 8.
With COVID-19, he passed away with the coronavirus.
Yeah, a couple of months ago, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Bill Oddie having a birthday today, Whitey. We play a game every time we do this sort of stuff, Rocket. Whitey's got to guess how old the person is. How old's Bill, Whitey? And then I'm going to get you to have a crack, Rocket. 78 for Bill, Rocket.
That's not a bad guess, I think. 80.
Oh, all around it. 79 for Bill.
Oh.
79. Well played, you two. Well played. Goody. I'll tell you who is. I could have gone like that with the D's, wouldn't it? Simon Goodman, Goody. But let's have a chat about Gold Coast Suns for a second. Matty Rowe, Rocket, what do we do with Matty Rowe? What are the conversations, is probably the question, that are going on at the Gold Coast Suns at the moment with Matthew Rowe, who dislocated his shoulder on the weekend against the Cats, and they've held off on making any real concrete decision on what to do with him. What is the level of conversation going on? Because as we all know, this is a prodigious talent who might be a game changer for the Gold Coast Suns. What are they saying behind closed doors about how we deal with this?
It'll be the debate or discussion, I suppose, and it'll be in consultation with the with the surgeon. And there'll be some players who could play, and I imagine he could play too because he seems a tough kid. But at 18 years of age, I think with 12 to 15 years ahead of him and the future of the club, I think the other discussion will be what's best for him in the long term. And I would think they'd take the long-term view. Like if he plays the rest of the year and pops, it'll keep popping out. And we've seen players who have done that during a season and kept on going. But do you take the risk of long-term damage? I don't think they will. I think there will be a discussion about there's only two options, is to keep playing and see how it goes, or to have surgery now and play the long game, which I think at his age is the best thing to do, to be honest.
And the way he plays as well, he's going to get himself into more trouble with that injury, isn't he? I mean, he can't protect it the way he plays.
No, that's right. And I suppose, you know, they would have had scans now. Obviously, some shoulders pop out are worse than others. Some could just come straight out. Others gets a tear in the labrum, which means it's easier to pop out, and you can have long-term damage on the joint. So I depending on the damage, but even if it's only slight, I think it's going to pop out again, as you say. Now, the way, you know, situation puts him in, he's tackling, he's always around the action, he's going to be tackled. I think it's best probably to have the operation and put him out to pasture till next year, because it's a long term view.
We've seen the Suns quite a lot in the last few years get off to good starts, hot starts, you know, 3-1, 2-0, 4-2, all these sorts of things, then they fall away with a young list. Is this a different Suns, do you think, Rocket? Does this have more wholesomeness about them, about what they're doing at the moment, or is it still too early to tell?
I think last year I always thought that they'd finish out of 22 games, you know, 6 or 7 wins. I think they'd be out of the bottom six, or towards the top of that bottom six, mainly because the maturity of their other younger players. They're always going to grow in size, and another good pre-season. So I always thought that they're going to improve. I still think they're going to oscillate a bit. I think, as Stuart, you said, it's going to be up and down with the young list. I think COVID, or the way the games at the moment suit them and suit younger teams, with the game shortened. Going into the hubs, I know they can play on the Gold Coast, but now they're going for 2 weeks in Sydney. That'll suit a younger side because they haven't got the responsibilities of families and kids and whole range. And they've played at home like Brisbane have as well. So that's I think things have fallen for them a little bit, which is good. And I think that'll only serve them fantastically for next year, because they'll have another season under them. And I think 2021 will be a year where they'll, I think they'll really climb. But I think what we've seen in the way they're playing, I think we can get positive about them. There's no doubt.
What about the Tigers, Rocket? We move on from the Gold Coast Suns. The Tigers, who are on the Gold Coast at the moment, they found a little bit of mojo the game against the D's on the weekend, the way they play. We saw them be more Richmond than they've been, I think, this year on the weekend. Yeah. But they've got an awful lot of issues facing them from a personnel perspective now, with injuries and players who won't be there because of family commitments at home for the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. If you're Damien Hardwick and you've been off your tucker a little bit, you found a little bit of it, how do they continue this? And is that the way for them going forward, the way they played on the weekend? That's just their brand. That's what they have to get back to.
Yeah, right. And I think... But I think the number of players out will bite them in the end.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. I don't care if you've got the best system, best game plan. The good players, or the better players, don't make as many mistakes. It's obvious. And their next 2 weeks against Sydney, who are a young team, gives them an opportunity. And again, then North Melbourne, who are going to be missing Cunnington, maybe Higgins, Zeeble. So they've got their own injury concerns. I think the next 5 weeks will tell, and they're going to be missing Prestia and Nankervis for sure, are those, yep. and certainly Hooley and maybe Edwards, which is a lot of talent to miss. Now, Cotcher may be back, Lynch will be back. So the next five, and certainly the next 2 weeks, if they 0-2, that they lose both these next two games, I think it's going to be tough for them to make the eight, to be honest, because I think those other players, because they've got good sides to come. And they're not playing really well. I think, to answer your question, I think Damien would be happy with the brand, the way Richmond played. There was a lot of mistakes, though. There was one Melbourne made a lot of mistakes, but so did Richmond. Richmond weren't back to their best. As I mentioned earlier about Melbourne, you're not going to turn the switch. If you get playing with effort and a bit of energy and a bit of intensity, which Richmond had, it will come back. But I just fear that so much talent is out that it's going to hurt them. And, it's going to be a tough road for them.
The interesting one for me from Friday night was Essendon. We didn't really speak a lot about the Bombers yesterday, being the Friday night game. There'd been so many...
You're singing the club song.
Well,
then,
that's right, that's right. A lot of games have happened since. But I'll put it on the table. I think that is as good a win as Essendon's had in some time, because it was done a way they don't normally win. And that is that they showed the resilience to come back. They got their hands dirty, their intensity, their pressure... was exceptional. What were your thoughts on Essendon's effort?
Yeah, no, I've been pleasantly surprised with the way they've gone. They've got a game in their game in hand as well against the Demons. You'd like to think they could win that. So that entrenches them really in the eight. So they've got. I thought they were hard nosed about it. I thought they ran well. They're not as much, but they've still got a bit of. They did against Carlton, where they rely on turnover in their back line to be able to then generate some ball movement. Well, I think they can generate ball movement around the stoppage a bit more, which improved a bit the other night against Collingwood, who were very good. So they did that really well. They did the homework against Grundy. I think they'll miss Stringer. He did open the game a bit and can kick a goal, so that's their issue at times. So how they replace him or what they do to get around that. But, I think it's a bit more, what's the right phrase, a bit more steel about them.
Yeah.
I think a bit more resistance. And there's a few players down at the moment. If they can get a lift, Chip and Woody and a few others can give them a bit more spark, especially with Stringer out. Now they could, they can cause some damage by the end of the year.
Yeah, they're an interesting one, I reckon, Essendon. It was just the way they did it that...
Well, you wonder if that's right. Now the blueprint they want him. And this is the question, I reckon, for Bombers fans. Is that going to be what we see going forward? Because there seems to be a list of players there with that level, that system of play or that style of play that suits. And why wouldn't you try and make that your trademark? And whether or not that's a philosophy thing, Rocket, from coaches, from Worsfold /Rutten there at the moment, they're trying to play a style that perhaps doesn't suit that team as dynamic as they are, or they just let them play on that level of energy and system like they played on Friday night, because that seems to be a really strong brand.
Yeah, I think your brand is always have a foundation of what's expected of every player. So Richmond, high energy, put pressure, numbers around the ball, get the ball going forward. That's the non-negotiables, and I don't think the way Essendon have played, there hasn't been those non-negotiables. They've sort of oscillated too much, and they've relied too much on rebound from half back from Saad and McKenna and turnover, and then we'll see how we go. And then when they get challenged a bit, they can drop away. But I think, as Whitey said, they answered that challenge and they have a bit more resolve about them. And if that can be their basis, then they can, if that's consistently there, there's going to be times when the game will break open and they will be able to play their quick brand of footy. If they just rely on that, it's going to be shut down, and they haven't got plan B. Well, I think if plan A is their hard-nosed pressure, numbers around the footy, work for each other, high energy, then they can always have that there and always keeps them in the contest. Where even early against Collingwood, Collingwood dominated, it was 2-0, and it looks like it was going to blow out. Then all of a sudden, it was 3-each. Like, they just found a way to kick a goal, scrounge a goal, stay in the contest. And I think that's what Adam was saying, that they are able to stay in that contest. So therefore, they are able to start to play better themselves. Now, this is why they're not playing well. They're able to keep in the game. And that's a sign of a good side.
I know that Ben Rutten's really keen on consistency and sustainability are probably two of the words he talks about internally. That, you know, so they've now got that as a reference point game to say, well, okay, well, we've just beaten one of the better teams in the competition doing it this way. We've now got to see that week in, week out. It's all well and good to do it one every 3 or 4 weeks, but If you're going to be a good team, and Essendon's got the talent on that list to be a good team, but the trust is still the issue, and it's the trust with the fans as well as anyone, is that what are we going to get from Essendon? And that's what Ben Rutten's very much aware of.
And that's what the consistency is going to get. You made, I was talking about on Melbourne, well, you've got to reward players or take the reward away from them if they don't do it. And that selection's your biggest tool. So, listen, person A, you played well 1 week and then you played two poor ones and I can't trust you. Now, you've got to work harder. You know, if we get that consistency, you'll be in the team. But at this stage, you're out and we'll reward other players. So Melbourne are facing that at the moment. Do they go again with players who have got talent versus actually delivering of the effort and the consistency of what we want of the way we want to play?
Your first year in coaching Rocket was very different to Matthew Nix's. You played in the grand final when you were coaching the Sydney Swans in 1996. Matthew Nix's...
But hang on that, my first two games were a bit like Matthew Nix. Our first game, we lost by 80 points to Adelaide. And the second game was... we lost a Fremantle at home. At that stage, nobody lost a Fremantle. And so it was 0-2, and it's like, oh. So I can feel his pain a bit. I might give him a call, actually, because I coached him for quite a little while and see how he's going. But, yeah, I can feel his pain. But now 0-5, if it's not much light, is a jarring situation, isn't it?
Yeah, well, and the challenge, I think, that complicates it is that not only is his team underperforming, it seems his club is almost fractured and broken. And so it's bigger than just the 22 he's got to deal with or the 45 on his list he's got to deal with. It's actually a bit bigger than that. How difficult is this challenge for him, just watching it from afar?
Oh, it's extremely difficult because when you go in as a new coach, your first-time coach, and I imagine it's still the same today, you just want to coach. You're not worried about...
Yeah.
Politics, or you're naive to politics and how the media works, really, even though you've seen the machinations of that. It's just about dealing with the players, your game plan, your training, but obviously there are ghosts from the past of attempted to be masked and hidden, but they're all coming out at the same time, isn't it? It's just the cracks are getting wider and wider at the club, so. Yeah, it's tough for him. I think the leadership of the club have got to say to him, OK, we understand where we're at, which is going to be difficult for Adelaide because it's such a city that demands success and a club that has demanded success. We're in a hole, and we're in a big hole, and it's going to take quite a few years to get out, and we need to go to the drawing board to draft picks in, at the same time still trying to win games, but let's try and build the foundations again. And that's what we're talking about before with the basis of the game plan. Their foundations are rocked, aren't they? And they're cracked.
Yeah.
And the foundations just aren't there. They've got to dig them out and they've got to replant them. They've just got to do it again. But it's going to be tough for him. It's tough while you're a first year coach to have all this thrown at you.
A great challenge for Matty Nix now, Blake Crows.
Yep. Right, I'm not too sure where they go. What's your thoughts there, Huff?
It seems to me, just watch, and again, this is just watching through the television screen, not knowing anything inside, but you've got to find a way to tap into the reason they play, as opposed to worrying about systems and structure and that sort of stuff, and really go back to foundations and fundamentals of why they play, why they love the game, and tap into that energy somehow. I reckon that's the only way it gets back on track, really.
They've certainly got to include the players in that and talk them through, and at the moment they don't look like kicking goals. Even the weekend they did create opportunities but missed them, and that can be energy sapping or confidence sapping as well. They work hard, then sort of you fall away. But yeah, it's not a quick fix. Even if they win at the weekend, weekend, it's not going to fix it. You can tell it's there for the long haul, the issues and the problems, and past players now digging up about the camp, the infamous camp, and that's still going to come back to haunt them. And I think they've just got to own up, take responsibility, line in the sand, move on. But this is the way, this is our blueprint going forward. And knowing that this is where they're at. They are where they are at the moment. They're going to be last. They're going to struggle. And a lot of people pick that early in the year. But sometimes internally in the club, you don't see that. Now, you've got the veil on a bit and you go, no, we're okay, we'll be fine. But I think there's going to be some tough roads ahead.
Yeah, the challenge for Matty Nix and his staff at the Adelaide Football Club. Not so much for you, though. You're on fire. You've dominated this morning. We appreciate your insight into the game, Rocket, as always. Look forward to catching up with you next Tuesday on The Breakfast Club. Thank you, mate.
All right, boys. See you later. Great to talk.
Good stuff. Rodney Eade with us. Our coaching corner guru. He's the best in the biz, and great to have his level of insight into the game and how to coach it and deal with all the situations that come up week in, week out in club life. Not too many more experienced than Rocket to do it.